This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. In Campo, California, we have, as we give our thought for today, we have before us at all times, what is it that we're doing here? We're living in a school here at the university. And it sometimes is not pleasant to live in a school because in a school, you're always being checked by the teacher to make sure that you're doing things correct. Now, a lot of us are looking at our dear friend Dorothea here, who is 86 years old, and we're saying, wow, what a great lady. She has lived so many adventures in her life, and she has done so many things, but Dorothea has done nothing. Dorothea has just been there. What made all the difference in Dorothea's life is one thing, just one thing, and that's her attitude about it. Each step along the way, her attitude has been, hey, I want to live. Hey, I'm a happy person. Hey, life is great. Hey, this is a super world that I'm living in. Hey, I've got great people that I've met in my life and have come through my world. I am really a happy person. Now, if we were to die tomorrow, what would we say about our life? Well, could we say, I have been a loving, giving, generous person who looked out for my world, for the creation that I have in my world first? Now, Dorothea, does she have any family? Does she have people in her world? Yes, she does. She has a nephew. She has perhaps a brother. She has perhaps other people in her life. Whatever she has, it makes no difference. But they're always lovingly in her heart. She always shares lovingly her thoughts about them. She thinks about them like we think about our family, loving, gentle, kind thoughts. Now, let's just take, for instance, if Sylvia's brother and sister in law were here, and their family.
I have the feeling.
What would Sylvia do? Sylvia would be all over them. Sylvia would say, would you like some of this? Would you like
this?
Before Sylvia would even think of putting anything on her plate, she would reach out and serve them and make sure that they had everything, because that was her job as a sister.
Well, that was her job as an aunt. I don't know what
her job is to look out for someone who comes into her world, care for them, and do things for them. And she would feel so good about it. She'd feel so good that she has touched their life and reached out and done something for them. Now, this is how.
Okay, two, I need two.
Now, Dorothea is 86. And her job in being 86. It has the attitude of being the happiest, most joyous person on the face of the earth.
Because
if she's not a happy, joyous person, she
should
get off the earth.
Okay, it's the one really on top.
Because she's just a bother to the earth. But she is a joy to the earth. She is a happy face. She is a beautiful face. Ellen, if she is going to pretend that she is down here and that everybody worships her and takes care of her,
I've done two. So you have to stop it here and then go and listen on five. And send it out.
It should be somebody.
Make sure everything's in order, make sure everybody's happy. Okay, that's then step four.
And Sylvia, as the abbot, she makes sure that everyone has everything.
How long is that?
Even people that she doesn't find too.
Well, it's 15 minutes,
the door,
15
says,
minutes,
okay,
43
down,
seconds, and done are 4 minutes.
We all sit here in amazement as she is taking care of herself and takes care of herself.
Well, that was just the
always
car.
In life. The only thing that makes the difference between a person who has lived well and a person who has not even lived is attitude. If we have a beautiful, supportive, wonderful attitude about ourselves, then we have lived a good life. It's not a matter of what we did or whether we get the food first or whether we don't get the food or whether we serve or whether we don't serve. It's just what's our attitude about our job. Now, Ingeborg, she wants to make sure that everybody else is served, that everybody else gets everything. She probably would make a great president, and she'd probably make a great boss of some sort, but not really, because Ingeborg does that because she thinks people don't have. She's not giving to people because she wants people to be served. She's giving because she thinks they don't have. Now, when the abbot is serving, the abbot is making sure that everyone is having whatever they desire because that's part of the job. When the president is serving, the president is making sure that everyone... When Dodi and Dorothea are a wonderful octogenarian, when she sees something on the table, she too wants to do this. And I say, Dorothea...
Are you going to the dentist, Sylvia?
Well, you're not supposed to take care of everybody here. You're supposed to take care
of yourself. Well, then tell the dentist that Ingeborg is happy and everything is in
your job is not to go around serving everybody else. Your job is to do the things that you're asked to do. Now,
then Ingeborg is all okay now.
If we know our role in life, we can have a very good life.
Well, she went there.
If we don't know our role in life, we go around with a lot of confusion. We go around with a lot of unhappiness.
And it made a big difference.
Who are living in rest.
And that she's now fine.
People
they
who are living
she
as
should say something. If you
people
don't say something,
who are living
then
in
they
a
know
body, well, let's not say living in a body. People whose body keeps on living, but their mind has left. They are people who have never learned to live in the moment and live fully and live well. I remember at the death of my mother, I had been with her on many sojourns around the world, not the world, but the countryside, taking her to different places where I speak to minister, and having her meet acupuncturists and acupressurists and alternative medicine people for the various ailments that she had experienced. And finally, she said to me, "Herbie, I want to die." And I said, "But Mom, you can't die. I love you. You know, your job is to get your body home first." She says, "My job is just to be myself." I said, "Mom, don't." And she says, "I want to go. Herbie, let me go." Okay. I said, "Okay, Mom, go." And correct, she went, because she was living for me. Now, that's my responsibility for me. She was living for me. She was living because it made me happy, because it made me feel very good to have her as a partner, as a teammate, working on our spiritual path together. And then when she left, she left instantly. She didn't have to wait in 3 days for her exorcism to float out of her body. Instantly, at that moment, her exorcism just floated out of her body, and I could see it. It was a great experience. I'd had that experience maybe about 4 or 5 times, but it was a great experience. And then I said to my sister Marie, who was in the other room, I said, "Marie, I think Mother's left us." I still cared very much. I still do care. But we had our parting time, and she left. But the thing is, she lived her life well. Never did she feel that she wanted to be a burden to anybody else. Never did she feel she wanted to be a vegetable, that she wanted to live just to keep her body around. She lived well and beautifully every moment of her life. You say, "Well, it's your mother. Naturally, you say nice things about her." Well, a lot of mothers, you don't say nice things about. A lot of mothers are just not so nice. And a lot of fathers and a lot of people. And you and I sometimes were not so nice. What we want to do in everything we do is to live our life with an attitude of joy and peace and harmony and sharingness and love. And if we don't do that, then we haven't lived at all. As we were, Monica has her 2 daughters, and Andrea is the older daughter. What is she, about 15 maybe? And she is just a genius. Everything comes easy for her. School comes easy. Everything comes easy. And she has a brilliant mother and father who just inspire her to beautiful things. And then Martina, the younger one, she's always, you know, under the light of the older one who's always so brilliant. But Martina is just doing her thing, and she's a vegetarian. The whole family is a meat eater and what have you, but she's vegetarian. She will not eat any meat. She will not touch any meat. And not because she's against it, but she just doesn't eat it. And she sits at their table and eats at their table, her table, and will not eat any meat. She's just an amazing little girl. And she's maybe 10. And so at school she was doing well, but now she's learning English on the computer, and she's so charming, Monica says, because she's just a lovely light. So now, if any of those girls were to pass on like this today, they would have lived a beautiful life. Because each moment they lived it fulfilling, each moment they lived it with joy and peace in their heart, each moment they were happy as larks. Now each of us, each moment, should live our life wonderfully, beautifully, and completely. Now, some of you say, well, I didn't notice that somebody didn't get the food on the table. I didn't notice that this happened to them. Why didn't you notice?
I have opened it the other day.
Almost twice your age. Maybe I'm seven times your age, maybe I'm 100 times your age, but I have my eyes open. I am aware of what's going on with my flock. I am aware of what's going on with my family, with my children. I know what you're doing while you're sleeping. I know what you're doing while you're playing in your room, not doing your lessons and reading other materials. I know what you're doing when you're out taking a walk, and instead of thinking beautiful thoughts, you're thinking, oh, I don't feel like walking any further. I'm so tired. Oh, get off it. You're not tired. You don't tell yourself you're tired. You say, I'm filled with life. I'm filled with power. I'm filled with joy. I move it, move it, move it. And then your body responds to you. Your body responds to whatever you tell it. I have my eyes on everything. I can see the back of my head, the front of my head, the side of my head, and I see all over. I know what's going on because I care. Now, when you care, each of you, about your life, you will do your job so beautifully and so wonderfully and so happily that everything will fall in place. But I tell Ingeborg, she says, oh, it'd be nice to take a job or responsibility. I said, Ingeborg, forget it. I said, you don't need a job of responsibility. You got a wonderful job of responsibility doing your own work right now, doing your own life and doing it well. And I say to Sylvia, one time she was contemplating working as a president of the organization. I said, Sylvia, if we ever allowed you to be the president, we would not be giving you a gift. We would be giving you a kick in the tail. Being the president has a lot of demands on it. That means you are really back on the ladder. You're not above anybody else. You're behind because everybody else comes first. Everything else comes first. Everything. Now, you say, well, why does Ellen get a new computer? Because I give it to her, not because she gives it to herself. Ellen always takes the second computer, the third computer. She always takes something down the line. She never asks for the best for herself because she always wants it for her family. And this is the genius. I don't have that same opinion. I always make the best for myself. I'm always number one. And of course, maybe that's something we can all learn a little bit. But at every moment, do everything you do wonderfully, joyously, happily. Have eyes in the back of your head, the front of your head, and do your own thing. Don't do somebody else's thing. If you have a job that demands that you vacuum the floor, well then, damn it, vacuum that floor like it has never been vacuumed before. Get in the corners. Get in the corners. And I know you don't. And when I see the movement of the vacuum cleaner on the floor, and just from that point alone, I see that you don't get in the corners. You don't even move the chairs. My goodness sake, it is a fortunate thing that I vacuum that floor two or three times a week myself. And when I don't even tell you about it. And then when you come and do a slipshod job, it doesn't really matter. Because I do it for myself. But now, I could create you doing it beautifully. I could create you being a master of anything you do, whether it's vacuuming the floor, washing the dishes, anything you do. Being a master of being the abbot, being a master of being the president, being a master of being an octogenarian. Being the master of being a monk. I mean, because we don't have a lot of monks here. But the monks we have are the greatest in the world. But I can create each of you of being a master, and I'm a monk too. So, live each moment of your life with the greatest joy and attitude of your heart. And then, if your moment of moving to your next dimension comes along, there's not a moment of regret. You just go and say, been good to know you. I wonder what joy lies before me. And if you're going to live for another 100 years, which I would very much enjoy seeing each of you do, and you have the potential for it, you have the possibility of living for hundreds of years in a healthy, dynamic, forceful, intelligent body and mind. Sure. sharp as a tack, crisp, beautiful. But only if every moment that you live in a positive, joyous, wonderful, beautiful attitude. So, our thought for today, live well every moment, so that no matter how many moments you live, it will all be lived well, and you will have the happiest life anyone will ever have in the world.
You are just something. Even taking his part, that's not nice. Don't do that.